NWP Radio.
You're listening to NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project.
NWP.
Welcome, listeners. This is NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. Today is April 12th, 2024, and we are talking with Stephanie Vanderslice, author of the book Teaching Creative Writing, The Essential Guide. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey.
Could we start? I know a lot of listeners in the network, in-network listeners, will know you, but we'll have always new people in the writing project. So can you start by telling listeners a little about yourself and maybe a little about your writing project story?
Oh, I would love to do that. So I teach creative writing at the University of Central Arkansas and direct the MFA program there. I write academic scholarship. I write fiction and I write creative nonfiction. And I was in the writing project for the first time in graduate school in 1996. And I was pregnant with my oldest child, and I was in the project under Ann Dobie in Louisiana, which was magical.
Yeah.
And I did it, and it was one of the best things I've ever done. I met the most amazing people, you know, the other teachers. They were so amazing. And then I was actually, so the next year I was on the job market, and I was so enthralled with the writing project. And then I came to a university in Arkansas that did not have one. And I met another person who was faculty, who had done the Little Rock Writing Project. And we started talking, and we were like, we really want to start a writing project. And we were lucky enough to be able to do that. And we had one for 14 years, I think, 15, maybe. We have had lots of budget issues and budget cuts, and also some leadership issues toward the end. But it was really wonderful when we had it. I would do it again in a heartbeat. And as I was saying to you earlier, it was absolutely formative. Everything I did with the writing project, all learning from all the teachers every summer, I learned so much.
Yeah.
I learned from all of the work that NWP did around teaching writing. I learned so much from the NWP philosophy, which is to say, we don't have a philosophy, but we're going to support teachers teaching writing and writing themselves, which I loved. Then I got to be on the Rural Sites Network, and that was amazing. And I loved that. And we got to have a conference, and I got to kind of be, to really see how to meet you and to see how the writing project kind of worked at all these different levels. And I have the greatest, greatest admiration for it. It's, I think, the best organization out there. Like I was saying, it spoiled me for just about anything else, and especially for academia. but that's me. I loved being in a place where I could talk about writing and also empower people to write who wanted to. You know, they say, Toni Morrison says, you know, when you're freed, you need to free someone else. And I feel that's really true about writing, that we're really in a culture where we still don't give people permission to write. And I feel like that's the writing project is about that. And once you give people that permission, then they give it to students, and it just keeps going.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, I love this organization, and I also think, oh my God, I get to learn from all the best teachers and academics around the country. And not that long ago, I was just scrolling through Instagram, and I was like, what? Stephanie Vanderslice has a new book. That's a great reason for me to get to talk to her again. And here we are. So thank you. Thanks for answering my call. We often also open with a fun fact, and you can skip this question if you want, but our fun question of the month is, it's April and National Poetry Month. Is there a poem or a poet that you love or think the world should celebrate?
Oh boy. I love Lee Young Lee. I love Lee Young Lee. And The City in Which I Love You is one of my favorite poems.
That poem. Right.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's a beautiful love poem, The City in Which I Love You.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. You have a new book out and it's for college teachers of creative writing. This is not the first time I've interviewed you about such a book because you have written others, but I have to say I'm even more excited about your take on teaching creative writing than ever. Can you tell us a little bit about like what would be your blurb for your own book?
A blurb. It's meant to be like the essential guide. I mean, if you're someone who either you're in a class about teaching creative writing, or you're like somebody just said, oh, you're going to teach creative writing, good luck with that. this hopefully would be your guide that would help you. Or if even if you've been teaching for a while and you kind of have questions, or you want to, and also kind of my husband calls it my magnum opus in the sense that it's everything I believe in one book and a lot of research. So,
That's we're going to come back to that because I think that's true as well. We'll come back to that in some later questions. I'm going to ask you this as a joke to get us warmed up, Stephanie, because I really did read your book. Can creative writing really be taught?
what a good question. Of course, I believe it so strongly. I mean, and there are still people who say it can't, and they're wrong, and they're usually very full of themselves, and they usually want to be able to say, well, it can't be taught, and because only certain people will instinctively know how to do it, and I happen to be one of those people. Not me, obviously, the people that think it
Would
can't be
say
taught.
that, yes.
You know, it's their way of, of casting others
Yeah. So, in light of this belief, your book opens with an epigraph which says, "Your task is not to see the future, but to enable it." Why is that your opening message for creative writing teachers?
because we just don't know. There's so much we don't know when we encounter our students. For example, I don't think we can say, I mean, I've had students of all different levels, and what I try to say in the book is you may have a student who's like really starting to get excited about this, but they've almost never done it before.
Yeah.
And so they may not be that great, but or they're just a beginner, as all beginners are. And you may have students who have been doing this since they could write with a pencil. And so they're going to be further along. And the temptation is to say, oh, this kid has it and this kid doesn't. And so I'm going to write off the one who I think doesn't have it. And it's really just a question of experience. And so you can't predict. You really can't predict, like, that kid's going to succeed and that kid's not. And so that's one thing. You can just enable everyone to feel like they can do it, and to give them the tools that they can develop themselves. So there's that. But also, having been a teacher for 27 years now, I also see how much teaching is about, like, teaching the mindset that allows you to figure out what you need to do. Because, I mean, going into this, even 10 years ago, I wouldn't have imagined all the things my students are doing now. I
Yeah.
mean, you just can't imagine. You just can teach them to be curious and self-starters and encourage them and then see what happens.
Yeah. Then send them out there.
Send them out there. That's right.
Stephanie, I want to say I've always considered you a kind, maybe even gentle, and definitely generous person. I
Thank
feel
you.
like there's an even softer, gentler teacher's voice here in this book. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yes, actually, and it's interesting that you say that because it is, because since it's basically in the last 10 years, it's gotten even gentler because you and I had been talking about this. I think our students need that, personally, because a train's going to go by. I don't know if you can hear it. But I live near a train. they need that. They don't, I don't, some students, tough love works for them, but honestly, I think we, it's better to just, they need the gentleness, because so much of their lives is not gentle. It's really not. And so much of the world that they have to face is not gentle. And I think research also shows that that gentleness can be supportive and help them. But I think teaching the students of the last 10 years too has taught me what they need, mm-hmm. and that I need to give even more grace than I was.
Good advice. Yeah.
And I need to listen to my students when they're like, hey, why are you doing this way? Mm-hmm. And then talk to them and find out, oh, that's a really interesting point. Why am I doing that? And kind of be open to what they have to teach me, especially if it's about being a more responsive teacher.
Yeah, I mean, I would not want listeners to think that this means that kids aren't learning. I really also got the sense that, and I believe I've come also in the last 10 years to believe this, that like gentleness can open up so much in young people, mm-hmm. and they have helped them have a greater capacity for learning and producing their work. So, and I think if anybody thinks that's not true, they should read your book. Or if anybody thinks that sounds true, but I don't know how to do it, they should read your book. Everybody should read your book.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with that.
Also, I want to say, as long, this is the thing I told you earlier, I was talking to a colleague about, as long as I've known you, you have advocated for teaching college level creative writing students how to participate in literacy citizenship or literary citizenship. Can you say a little bit about what that means to you and what it looks like in your teaching?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's so important. And we've really gotten into it at our university. It's showing them what is going on in the literary world around them and how they can become a part of it. And even more and more now with social media and everything, they really can. They can find out. No longer do they have to like only find out like we did from like books and, you know, the book review every week, but they can read it all. They can watch Zoom readings. They're not limited by space. They are maybe a little bit limited by time because they have a lot going on, but teaching them that they can become a part of this and that they need to give back to it as much as they want to receive, you know, and that they should, that I try to avoid the word should, but that they if they're passionate about this should be something they enjoy, mm-hmm. you know, being part of this world. And so it's kind of saying, here's this world, join us where we love words and we love books, right. You know.
Nice.
And here's how you can do that.
Yeah, it's great. Let's see, near the end of the book, maybe you've written about this before, but it felt new to me. You take up some instances of teaching creative writing to students who aren't majoring in creative writing. Mm-hmm. And I thought listeners who aren't creative writing, who don't teach creative writing explicitly might be interested in hearing a little bit about CWAC. Could you describe the concept and how you or others are working with non-creative writing faculty on this idea?
Yes. I think storytelling is so important as we go forward into the 21st century. I hear it all the time, but I think students that are able to think creatively about telling a story about anything they're doing professionally, and that even gets down to their resume and things like that, are going to do well. But I think it's really important to show students and other teachers in other fields how they can use creativity in all kinds of ways, and not to shut off that part of themselves. Creativity is solving problems. Like, it's solving a problem if you're writing a poem or telling a story. How do I get this point across? And so, and show, so I really think, you know, I teach intro creative writing is often one of a distribution requirement now. So I get a lot of students who are like, well, this looked interesting, but I actually don't really want to do it. And I'm like, that's fine, but let's look at how you can use this in your life. I use the book Big Magic in intro, and students love that book. And it really shows them all the ways that they're already creative, that they can be creative, and that creativity isn't just for artists and writers. It's for all of us, you know.
Yeah, I loved you actually just quoted one of the sentences I had to ask you about, which is writing for a reader is a process of solving problems collaboratively, problems and working collaboratively.
Yes.
Yeah. So, how do your writers take that up, that idea?
Well, I think that a key thing about creative writing in general is that you're creating an experience for a reader. So students come to us, and they may if they've been writing, they may have been writing expressively for a long time, and we're introducing them to the idea that that's great. But now we're creating an experience for a reader, and that involves a lot of things to think about. So when you're revising, or you're thinking, okay, what's the best way to open this story, or what's a way that I can kind of turn up the tension here, or something like that. And all of that is about thinking about who's experiencing what you're writing and how they can experience it best. And if you think about it, it's kind of like empathy. It's kind of like thinking, if I were reading this, what would I like? And it's thinking about the other person, and it's solving the, you know, that those are all kind of problems, like what's the best opening here, or what will, you know, Trent Lee Stewart, who wrote The Mysterious Benedict Society, and which there's a lot of problem solving in that. And he kind of helped give me this idea, because he talked about how when he's writing, he's always sitting around thinking, okay, now how can I make it even more, you know, puzzling, or, you know, and he's constantly thinking of puzzles, and, you know, and I often think of that. I, you know, my first drafting is usually like telling myself the story, but then after that is like, how can I enhance this? How can I make this the best experience for the reader? And that's really all about thinking of ways to do that, and that's problem solving.
I almost skipped that question because you already said the quote, but I'm so glad I didn't. I think that was a lovely description of what are the different moving from expressive writing to writing for a
Yes,
reader
writing for reading.
and of revision as well. So
And
great.
you can think of it as fun, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it sounds much more fun than revise.
Right. Like, okay, I'm making this for a reader now, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to turn this part up, or I'm going to,
Right.
yeah,
Right.
that's nice. I like it. Okay, well, Stephanie, I interview a lot of researchers and writers, and in my experience, most people have hopes and dreams for the books that they send out in the world. Do you have a hopes and dreams for this book?
Oh, yes, my hope and dream is that it really becomes ubiquitous, and people it changes the way creative writing is taught. And it finally we're kind of getting away from the old way it was taught slowly, but I would love this to like break everything open, and for this to be like the new standard. If that, I know that sounds a little presumptuous, but like the new standard, not the old egotistical way, but the new standard of teaching creative writing that is innate, empowering. That
Yes,
would make
I
me
agree.
really happy.
I think it would make a lot of people really happy,
Yes.
including a lot of students.
Yes.
And I know, and we at the top of the show, we talked about your familiarity with the writing project and the idea of teachers teaching teachers. Can you imagine a place for this book in writing project work?
Oh, yeah, I really can, because I think it's basically it's for anyone who wants to empower students as writers, and not just creative writers, but just writers who are creating, again, creating experiences for readers. First, maybe coming to writing as a means of self-expression, which is wonderful. And it's, we all do that, but and maybe thinking about, okay, maybe I can take this to a different level and use it as a way to create an experience too, and that they're two different things. I talk to my students a lot because I worry a lot about them getting hung up on all the different, well, try this, do that to make the experience better for the reader. And that is all super, super important. But I sound like a broken record with my students, but I always say, but that is not what you need to do when you're first writing this. You need to just be doing it. You need to just be telling yourself the story or writing the poem. Do not think about all these other things. But then once you've done it, that's when you get to play around and try different things. But if you tried to, tried the techniques that I'm talking about now in an early draft, well, very early draft, you would be paralyzed. So don't,
Or you'd have a bunch of clever things that don't add up to.
yes, right. You have to express what you want to express and use the writing to answer your questions, but that you need answered, but then you can shape it for the reader. I don't know if, I hope that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. And I think all writing project directors should be like, oh, that's great. I think we should have that book for our summer institute.
Well, yeah, and it's great to use to teach students to do that separating that, and that both things are really good, So
And since we since I believe we've probably created a felt need for listeners, tell them again, what is the title of your book and where can
it
they
is
find
called
it?
Teaching Creative Writing: The Essential Guide. And it's all in there.
It really is.
And it's not even
It has a cover that just makes you think, oh, that is the essential guide.
I'm
Those are
glad.
all the parts. I love
I
it.
loved the cover when they sent it to me. But and it's not even that long. But
No,
it's
and
still all
it's
in
so
there.
enjoyable to read.
Well, and I really try to do that, to really just talk to the readers,
Yeah.
There's no need to do anything else. So,
Stephanie Vanderslice, I love the writing project for putting me into contact with beautiful teachers like you and making friends with people like you. Thank you so much for
thank you.
all the time you've been working and writing
Thank
and
you.
working with teachers. And thank you for this hour that we could
Thank
spend
you.
with you.
Thank you to the Writing Project for making me the person I am and the teacher I am, and I've been looking forward to this for a long time, to this interview. So thank you.
Excellent. Well, the next time you have a book, don't forget to tell me.
Okay. I
You're listening to
Thanks,
NWP
Stephanie.
Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. NWP. NWP Radio.